Thank you, Doug, and we appreciate very much the presence of all of you that are here this morning. It is a great day. God's going to give us a wonderful afternoon. I know that the weather certainly is conducive to our enjoyment today, and I hope that you enjoy this day. I hope you've enjoyed being here in the house of worship this morning already, and that you will continue as we focus our attention this morning upon things that are eternal. Let me encourage you to be here tonight. By the way, our lesson is entitled, Behold, I Thought. We're going to talk about our thoughts tonight and what penetrates your mind. You know, the Bible says we're to think on things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's going to be the topic of our discussion tonight at 6 o'clock. And we encourage all of you to be here with us at that time. But this morning, it's so easy for us to focus our mind upon things that really are transitional. And what I mean by that, we all know what transition means. It means change, or things that are not permanent. But you and I are to be focused upon things that are eternal. Did you realize that life is what we call impermanent? It is not permanent, but impermanent. But the Word of God is not. For the Word of God is settled in heaven. David in the book of Psalms 119 said, Forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven. And in the book of Matthew 24:35, Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And so even though there are so many changes around us, there are some things that do not change. In the book of Psalms 102, verse 25 through 27, David wrote and said, Of old you founded the earth and the heavens, and they are all the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like an old garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. That sounds to me like God is eternal. I think of Psalms 90 and verse 2, Before the mountains were born or brought forth, you gave birth to the earth and the world. But even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Thou art God. God is eternal. In life, you and I have to base our decisions, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, upon the Word of God, upon what God says about what is right and what is wrong, and not upon the world. Well, think with this morning about transitional things. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary or temporal or transitional or changing, but what is unseen is eternal. Did you realize that discipline is just choosing between what you want now and what you want most in life? If I were to ponder that question to you this morning, what do you want most in life? What would you really say? Well, I can tell you one thing. You can't always get what you want in life. You know, kids are going to be asking for certain things this year at Christmas. Many of them have already been to see, as they call Santa Claus, and they have made their requests known. But a lot of times, we don't always get what we want in this life. We don't. But what do you want most? Something that is transitional or changing, or do you want something that is eternal? Sometimes people say, I want it all and I want it now. That's the mentality of a lot of people today, and they don't like to wait. Have you ever noticed that? They don't. But I'm thankful that pain is temporary and that victory is forever in our Lord Jesus Christ. This too shall pass was one of man's favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. Because he said, all of my worries and my anxieties, my difficulties, my problems in life, why, they're only temporary. They're only temporal. They're only transitional. And they will change. But 1 Corinthians 15:19 says that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Aren't you glad that our hope transcends this world? I am. I'm interested in things eternal, not things that are transitional. You know, the heavens change, don't they? Children make wishes upon falling stars. You ever do that? You ever go outside and watch a falling star? And everybody used to say, well, you can just make a wish on a falling star. The mountains change. Think about it. Volcanoes, earthquakes. There are all kinds of things that bring about change in the temporal things that we see in this life. People change. Some people get older. Have you ever noticed that? A few more wrinkles. How many of you went to the mirror this morning? A few more blemishes you had to cover up? You're already making resolutions to lose weight. I know, that's a favorite resolution. That lasts for about 14 days and it's out the window. People fall in love, and people fall out of love. Have you ever noticed that? How many of you are happily married this morning? You know, they're tremendous. One woman was holding her husband's hand up. You know, we all ought to be happy in life, wouldn't you? Let me show you something I saw here the other day. I think you'll appreciate this. These are three pictures of women and three pictures of men. You talk about transitional things. This was a woman when she is single. This is a woman when she's married. This is a woman when she is divorced. She's searching again. Now let me show you the men. He thinks he's cock of the walk. He's a big rooster on the block because he's single. But when he gets married, and for those of you who may be thinking about divorce, it isn't very pleasant. So think with me this morning about things that are transitional. By the way, one man told me one time, he said, you know what? He said, I don't let change bother me. And I realized the other day why skeletons are so calm. You know why? Because nothing gets under their skin. Transitional things, what are they? Okay. Number one, did you know that the law of Moses is a transitional thing? It is. In the Old Testament, God gave ancient Israel a law. It was called the Law of Moses, and you can go back and read the law. Factually speaking, if you were to take the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you would have the Old Testament law in those five books. And the books beyond there are not really the law, but the law is contained in the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. Now, that's why I preach from a lot of the Old Testament. The Bible says the Old Testament is a schoolmaster to bring us to the new. You know, if we didn't know the Old Testament, it would be very hard for us to comprehend some of the things in the New Testament. So historically, we go back and we read it, we quote from it, but we don't live under that Old Testament law. It was given to the Jews. But that's why some people get all upset today when we talk about the Ten Commandments, as if we live under the Ten Commandments. Did you know Christ said that the old law was nailed to the cross? You and I do not live under the law of Moses. It is transitional. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The old law is a dead letter, and yet Christians do not live today under the law of Moses or the Old Testament. Some people feel like that's the thing. You know what? People talk about removing the Ten Commandments from the classroom. We would do better to put the Sermon on the Mount in the classrooms and to put the teaching of Jesus Christ. But there are also other transitional things, like the apostles. You know, we have some religious groups today that teach the apostolic continuation, as if to say that there will always be apostles. No, Jesus chose the apostles for a period of time, but they were transitional. They preached to the known world upon this earth in their time. The book of Colossians says that the gospel was preached to every man in the days of the apostles, but every one of those apostles died. They did. They accomplished the mission of Christ. And that was in the book of Matthew chapter 28, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Also found for us in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter and verse 15. And notice what God says to them. He doesn't say that to us today. He doesn't give us His power. But in the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus said, "I will give unto you power to tread on serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now we know God said that to the apostles. He didn't say it unto us. But He empowered the apostles to do a lot of things, and that empowerment was short-lived. It was transitional, if you will. We still got religious groups today that practice what they call serpent handling. You go into some of those assemblies, and they handle serpents, snakes, and all kinds of things. And yet, you know what? God never told people that that would be the case for us. But the apostles could truthfully say that our mission was accomplished. And when that mission was accomplished, they all died. There's another transitional thing, and that is spiritual gifts. You hear a lot of people talk about spiritual gifts today. I'm going to tell you in just a minute about what some of those things were that people consider to be the gifts that God gave unto all men, but not true at all. You know, when you read the Bible, you have to ask yourself a number of questions. Number one, who is speaking, first of all? Is it God or someone else? Number two, you have to ask yourself the question, who is He speaking to? And then number three, you have to ask yourself the question, is He promising this to me, or was this a promise that was made to someone else? Spiritual gifts are transitional. We read in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 14 that they were not meant to last forever, only until the completed word of God came. For if you read the words of Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 and then also chapter 14, you will read that whether there be tongues, they would cease. Whether there would be knowledge, it would all be vanishing away. That is the gift of knowledge. Even the gift to raise people from the dead, the gift of healing, to go out and lay hands on someone and them receive healing within their body, was a gift to the apostles, not unto us today. If you were to go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, and you were to read even verses 4 through 11, you would find what we call the gifts of the Spirit. And one of them was the gift of knowledge. That is, supernaturally, God would put into their mind, kind of like He would put into the mind of the apostles or the prophets of the Old Testament, the will of God. There was a gift of faith, but that was a supernatural faith that God had given unto them. There was the gift of healing. I still believe in prayer. The Bible says that we have the right to pray for healing. Factually speaking, the Bible says, if one is sick, let him send for the elders, that they may anoint him with oil. For the prayer of faith will save the sick. There was the gift of prophecy, and that is being able to foretell or being able to teach the Word of God. Speaking in tongues, one of the more prominent gifts of the Spirit. And people still say today that they have that gift. I can tell you they do not. That term is called glossolalia. And that really is the ability to speak in what they call an unknown tongue or a language that they had not studied. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. 17 different nationalities were present on that occasion. But then there is that one that we call the interpretation of tongues. If someone is speaking in an unknown tongue, you must have an interpreter, and there are some who say they had the gift to interpret the language or the unknown tongue. We don't have that today. There was the gift of discernment. That is a supernatural discernment of things that only God could put into a man's mind. There was the gift of the miracle. I want you to think about this a moment. You know, it's gotten in our world today where people call everything that happens out of the ordinary a miracle. That's not always the case. People talk about the miracle of birth. Birth is no miracle. Birth is God's divine arrangement to bring babies into the world. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle. The birth of John the Baptist was a miracle. You can go back and read about it. But birth itself, I'm going to tell you, there's no miracle that I was born, and there is no miracle that you were born. Now, people talk about it all the time like it's a miracle. It's not a miracle. It is a promise of God. When two people come together in wedded love, and two people, and that's God's divine arrangement, by the way, man and woman, not man and man, or woman and woman. But when they come together in an intimate relationship, a child is conceived and brought into the world. That is not something that is miraculous, but it is something according to the will of God. And matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God told Adam and Eve to multiply and replenish the earth. Now, that was the will of God. But spiritual gifts, as they were given to the apostles, are not available unto us today because God has given us His written word. You know why those things happened in Old Testament times anyway? Was to confirm the word of God. That's why they were given. Just simply to confirm the word of God. So when we think about spiritual gifts, we need to recognize 1 Corinthians 13 says, and that which is perfect is come, that is the word of God. Paul makes that clear. Then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, you may think this is strange, but I want you to listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Did you know that the reign of Jesus Christ, listen to what I'm telling you now, is not eternal? Ah, it sure got quiet in here with that one. But don't you think about what the Bible says, not what I think, not what you think, or what anyone else thinks, but did you know that the reign of Christ is transitional? In the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24, the Bible talks about the end time. And Paul says, then cometh the end, when he, and he's talking about Jesus, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Now get the picture. At the end time, Christ is going to present the church back to God, going to give the kingdom back to God. Now notice what happens. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, kingship, and all authority, and all power. You see, God anointed Jesus to come into the world to become our Savior. But because of His resurrection and because of the special anointing of God, He is now, as John describes Him in Revelation, our King of kings and our Lord of lords. And as we were singing a moment ago, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But when the end comes, when God bursts the clouds of heaven and the clouds are rolled back like you'd roll up a scroll, and Christ comes again, to claim the church, his bride, Ephesians chapter 5, and he presents that bride to God, to our Father. He will have put down all power and all authority, and he will put down all rule. Right now, as he said, all authority or all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. That is true. But the time will come when he will go back and be with God as a part of that triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There will be no need for his rule. This earth will have vanished away. Jesus right now is Lord. And you know what? No matter who's president, it don't matter. Jesus is still King of Kings. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16, the Bible says that on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's why we crown him with many crowns. That's why we sing to glorify him. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Or Jesus, there's something about that name. He is King of Kings. And he is Lord of heaven and earth. Too many people do not recognize Christ as the King of Kings. And that's a sad thing to me. Because this King of Kings, right now, and he is reigning. People talk about a 1,000-year reign. Listen, you know what? You and I are living in the millennium right now. We are. He's reigning right now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes again, he's coming to deliver up the kingdom to God. He's not coming to establish a kingdom. His kingdom will come to an end upon this earth. And yet there are those who are teaching today erroneously that Christ is coming back. He's going to set up a kingdom here upon this earth or in this world. Not so. Not according to the Bible. And isn't that what we want, folks? It's what I want. I want something eternal. And that's ever-changing. It's like the Pope this last week was trying to change the Lord's Prayer. Did you notice that? Who's the Pope anyway? My hope's not in the Pope. My hope's in Jesus Christ. We should never, ever reject the authority of Jesus. For Jesus said in the book of John 12 and 48, that he that rejects me and receives not my word hath the one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He has all authority. But let me tell you something else that is transitional, and that is this earth. Do you know a lot of people talk about global warming and all these kinds of things? And I want to talk to you a little bit about global warming. But it ain't the kind you're thinking about. It isn't the kind that Al Gore would tell you about. It's the warming that's going to take place when Christ does come again. The earth is transitional. For the Bible in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says that when the end comes, that the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. You talk about global warming. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Transitional. And he said in verse 11, seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That's talking about the manner of life, by the way, and godliness. I will tell you that the earth is winding down. You know why the earth is winding down? It's because God never created it to be eternal. Did you know that? He didn't. Our solar system as we know it, did you know God never created that to be eternal? That wasn't the reason it was created. Scientists tell us all the time that the earth is winding down. And it is. But Jesus said to his disciples and to us in Matthew 24:35, that heaven and earth will pass away. Listen to that. Transitional. But my word, this word, will not pass away. That's why the book of Hebrews 13 says that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, forever. He is the Son of God. That's why Peter said the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will abide forever. But then there's another transitional thing, and that is man's earth life. You know, there's something about us, believe it or not, that is transitional and both eternal. Your body is transitional, but your spirit or your soul is eternal. When the Bible says that God created Adam and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, he became an eternal being by the breath of the Almighty. And you and I, when you and I came into this world, you and I came into this world transitional but also eternal. For our spirit is eternal, but our body, Paul says, the inward man is being renewed day by day, but the outward man is perishing away. You and I will perish. It doesn't matter who you are or how long you live. I read the other day where a dear woman, the oldest person in the United States of America, is now 109 years old, but she will eventually give up her eternal spirit back to God who gave it. For the Bible says that a man will die, as in Adam all die, so shall all in Christ be made alive. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Listen to it again. The Bible says, as in Adam, like Adam, we all die. But we can all be made alive through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We sing that old hymn, and I've thought a lot about this old hymn Brother F.L. Island wrote many, many years ago, titled, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. But time is filled with swift transition, transitional things. Naught of earth unmoved can stand, nothing. So build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, some of the most important breaking news from the Word of God is that the end is coming. It is. It is coming. The end is swiftly coming. And whether or not we are prepared to meet our God is the most important thing you will ever face. It's true. God's Word has all authority, Matthew 24. The second coming of Christ is realism, folks. It's not fake news. It's not supposition. You know, in this life, when we talk about the transitional body, the body, I want you to think about this. We have hospital medicine. We have observation medicine. Sometimes they just put you in the hospital to observe you. We have emergency medicine. Sometimes people go to the emergency room or urgent care, whatever. Then people have what we call post-acute care. But there's another kind of care that they have over at the hospital. I think they still have it, don't they, Doug? It's called transitional care. But you know what? I would, more than anything else, be more concerned about the care that God gives to me. And the Bible says that we can cast our cares on Him, for He careth for you. Life is transitional. What are you living for? Are you prepared for the transition that will take place from this life to the life hereafter? That's a transition that sometimes people never think about. You're going to die. And when you die, will you be prepared for the transition? If you haven't believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having heard His word, you're not ready for that transition, folks. Let me tell you honestly and sincerely, if you have not believed in Jesus to be the Son of God, you're not ready. But you're not ready if you haven't acknowledged Him as your Lord and your Savior either. You're not. For Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But you're not ready when you stop there. Are you ready for the transition? That means to repent. And that just simply means to change your life for the greater change that someday is going to take place. When Christ comes again, or when you depart from this life, and I will tell you most assuredly, and people argue about it all the time and debate it all the time, and some people say it's an unimportant, a moot issue, doesn't really exist, and that people make mountains out of molehills when they talk about the fact that people ought to be baptized. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And folks, you don't have to argue with me. You can argue with Christ all day long, and you can debate that issue. That's why people in New Testament times, and even in apostolic times, were all baptized for the remission of their sins. They understood what it meant. And they understood it was not just simply pouring water on someone's head. They understood the meaning of the real word in which the New Testament was written, the word bapto, or the word baptizo, which means to plunge in water, to completely cover in water, and raise out of water. That is New Testament baptism. And if one has not experienced that, he's not ready for the greater transition. And so when we think about death drawing near, did you realize that there is one thing we all want more of, but we can't have? Several years ago, Ann Murray sang a song, and she's always been one of my favorite artists. She's a Canadian. Great song. And it was entitled, Time Don't Run Out on Me. Remember that song? Time Don't Run Out on Me. But you know what? Time does run out sometimes. It does. We'd like to think that all we had to do is just flip the hourglass over again and start again. But it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. One day, time will give birth to things eternal. And the later, by the way, that you talked about is now. Sometimes people say, well, I'll become a Christian one of these days, and I'll focus really on things that are eternal, and I want to become a Christian, all right. I want to be baptized for the remission of sins, and I want to commit my life to Christ, and then I'm ready for the transition. And you'll say later. But did you realize that the later that you talked about is right now? That's why the Bible says, today, harden not your hearts. That's why Paul says, now is the accepted time. For today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until it's too late. And it could become too late in a matter of seconds. In a matter of seconds, one heartbeat, one breath. That's why the Holy Scriptures impress us with the idea of not placing our faith on things that are transitional, but upon things that are eternal. You know, I'm thankful for the love of God this morning. I'm thankful that there's a better life awaiting me, aren't you? I'm thankful that this isn't all there is. But there's something far better when we die. And I'm thankful for the Christians that have helped me become the person I am. I'm thankful for the Church of the Living God. And our role is to help one another get to heaven and to go through the transition. Recently, I read about two young girls who were playing on a railroad trestle. And they were busy with their dolls and their dishes like most girls would be. But they were someplace they shouldn't be, all right. But when they heard the rumble and the whistle of the train, they became frightened. And when they jumped up to run and get away from the train, one little girl caught her foot in the switch and could not get her foot out of the shoe and couldn't get her shoe out of the switch. She was standing there, terrified, holding on to a couple of little toys. The other girl was loose, so she started running down the tracks to jump off where the trestle came to land. She looked back at her little friend, then back toward freedom. The little girl with her foot caught was crying out to her little friend, "Don't leave me, Susie. Susie, don't leave me. Please don't leave me." And the newspaper said that Susie turned around, ran back, threw her arms around her little friend, and they buried their faces in each other's bosom. And then the train ran over both of them, killing them instantly. The article went on to say that one little girl was held by her foot, but the other little girl was held by her love. You know, God holds us by His great love. And He's holding on to you right now, giving you one more chance, one more opportunity to make the transition from being a sinner to a saint, from being an unfaithful member of the body of Christ to becoming a faithful one once again. But the time will come when the mercy of God will be no longer, and the end will come, and we will stand before the judge of the earth. That's a change that I want to be prepared for. I hope you do too. Let us stand and let us sing.